You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. We are about 1 week into the new year. How are those resolutions going? Especially the ones that had to do with going to the gym or to a yoga class, maybe cross-training. Any of those new fitness routines seem to be a challenge in January, unless you're super inspired. And then what happens? Dr. Brandi Waite from UC Davis Health Sports Medicine is a fitness evangelist, I think we'll call her. I'm hoping she has some good guidance. Hi, Dr. Waite. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So we are 1 week in. What's the likelihood that most of us are still on track at this point with the New Year's promises?
1 week in, people are still doing pretty well, unless they had a really fantastic New Year's Eve. Then sometimes even New Year's Day, you've fallen off before you've started. It gets to be by about the end of January or early to mid-February is when a lot of people struggle with maintaining those initial fitness goals.
I have been in this business a long, long time, so I have had dozens of these kinds of conversations. So I do feel a little skeptical about whether there can be any new advice or new guidance on how to do this. But it is a tradition that I really buy into, and I believe in the hope of a new year. How do you come at it?
You know, I think that every day is really an opportunity to start a new resolution. But since so many people just kind of grab on to New Year's Day, at least you get one chance a year among many chances that you have in the year to start doing something that's better for yourself. And so I think if it kind of gets you off the couch and at least gets you started, you've got a chance. And if you don't ever get off the couch and get started, you have zero chance. So if we'll take that one chance a year to get people to buy in.
Right. You work with our physical bodies, but how much of this is psychological and mental discipline?
A lot of it is emotional and discipline, and creativity plays a part as well. You know, lots of people can be very disciplined, but the reality is life gets in the way. There's very few of us that just have ample free time to easily take care of all of our fitness needs. And so it's figuring out ways when life throws you that curveball to keep something going so you don't completely fall off the wagon.
Do you have an example, maybe an example from your own life or somebody you've worked with about that navigating of life and goals?
You know, I see a lot of patients that have come to us because they have an injury that has thrown them off from their fitness plan. Oh, I wanted to do this couch to 5K because I got really motivated with my girlfriends and then I got plantar fasciitis. Or, you know, I started this cross-training program and then I got tennis elbow. And so that's when I kind of make my intervention for people. So number one is if something hurts, get it taken care of. It doesn't have to be the end of your goal. But number two is you can shift your goal as long as you don't abandon it. I think that's really it. So I've seen people who really, you know, came in. One woman I'm thinking of in particular, she had a great kind of charity goal that she really wanted to work for in honor of someone in her family. And she ended up with a foot problem that was limiting her ability to walk and train. And she said, well, if I can't do that, what can I do? And we shifted her from walking to a pool program, actually, to help keep her cardiovascular fitness up while she was healing from this foot injury. And there's actually been studies that show that exercising in the pool can keep you on track with out-of-pool goals. And she did it. She was able to get back into it, and she walked her 5K. And it wasn't a spectacular ultramarathon finish, but it was a finish for her, and that's what her realistic goal was. And so it was great. She was so fulfilled when she got it done. And that was really just wonderful to see the joy that she had from having something get in the way, finding a way to overcome it, and getting back on track.
Mm-hmm. The creative problem solving there that you talk about. It's easy to slip into a sense of failure or bombing out on yourself when you aren't going to the class you promised you'd go to every week, or you bought the gym membership, but the money is going out of your account and the work isn't happening with you physically.
Yes, you know, I really say if you bought it, use it or get rid of it. Right. So if 3 months have gone by and it's not that convenient for you to go to that gym that you bought a membership for or that class that you really thought you were going to like, then get rid of it and replace it with something else that you can really do. So instead of just holding on to something because you said, oh, I said I was going to do this specific class and now I haven't done it. If it didn't work, adjust and transfer to the next thing.
You're listening to Dr. Brandi Waite, sports medicine expert with UC Davis. Most of the people you work with are athletes on some level, correct?
I work with a lot of athletes and professional athletes, recreational athletes, weekend warriors, and then some people, many of my patients, they're, you know, athletic goals are really just being able to garden and keep up with their grandkids. So we really can see the spectrum.
Yeah, and that's what I wondered, how ordinary the advice can be to everybody across the board, even if you're working with somebody at a very elite level. What applies to all of us?
So at the very elite level, you know, people's paycheck is tied to their fitness, so they have
that's
a different
true.
Motivator.
Right.
You know, they've got, you know, responsibilities to their team and to keep a paycheck coming in for their family. And so that's a different motivator than those of us that maybe have just personal fitness goals or really health goals to help decrease their blood pressure or help control your diabetes. And so there are things that motivate professionals that don't apply to us regular folks. And so it's finding reasons that are relevant to your specific situation to help keep you on track. You're not going to sign a $1 million contract to walk a 5K, right? So that's not a reasonable thing. But finding something that you can tie it to that makes sense to you and is important to you in your day-to-day life, in your month-to-month life, in your year-to-year life, that's really more important for everyone.
Give me a small starting place, a number one recommendation for anybody who just wants to be more fit.
Get off the couch.
Okay.
All right. So that's, well, and if your knees and legs and feet hurt you so much, exercise on the couch. That's another thing that you actually can do. But I think it's just getting started, having a written plan and actually putting it on your calendar as if it's another meeting or another something scheduled that you can't shortchange. That's really important. And recommitting yourself to it every month.
Getting off the couch isn't earth-shattering advice, you know that. But I do like one thing you recommend, which is just 30 minutes a day. And the last day or two, people are taking down their holiday decorations, putting things away. You may not even realize it, but maybe you just spend 30 minutes really briskly walking or lifting boxes or doing something, and you accomplished the 30 minutes.
Absolutely. You know, if house cleaning could really keep you as fit as you need to be, a lot of us would be fitter than we are.
So I think about it, don't you?
Yes, you have to step up your game a little bit. Maybe turn on some music and, you know, kind of dance a little bit in between as you're picking those things up, or after you've moved one box, maybe do 10 high knee lifts or something like that. Just work a little bit more in to what you're already doing. It doesn't have to be 30 minutes on the treadmill or a 30-minute walk around the block. You can do little bits of mini exercise throughout the day to add up, because it's hard to find 30 minutes sometimes.
Sensible goals.
Oh, yes.
What are they?
Well, if you've never run, don't set the goal of running a marathon in March, you know, as your thing. You want to be realistic, really smart, very specific, measurable. We want these SMART goals as an acronym that people use for goal setting. And it's specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. And so those are the things you want to pay attention to. So if you have a goal, don't make it, I want to be more active this year, or I want to lose weight this year. Be more specific. I want to exercise 5 days a week. And how you're going to do that might change, you know, depending on what your level of fitness is. Or I'm going to exercise 3 days a week, or I'm going to exercise a little bit every day. And those are things that are a little bit more specific.
Have you made a New Year's resolution? Do you have a fitness goal?
I do have a fitness goal. I'm really good at sticking to I'm one of those crazy, like,
yeah,
you know, very dedicated people. Last year, my New Year's resolution was not to buy any new clothes. A random one. And I only bought a pair of ski pants. That was my one. I needed some that fit. I couldn't find the ones that fit. But for fitness goals in particular, this year, my goal, I have three exercises that I identified that I want to do every day. I want to do 30 push-ups every day, 50 sit-ups every day, and 20 squats every day.
Okay. How's it going?
I've done them so far.
All right.
I do them when I brush my teeth. I do squats when I brush my teeth. The folks that I work with, they always joke about me and my toothbrushing exercise, or when you're standing up typing, you can do hamstring curls if you're standing at a computer. So just finding little ways to fit it in. And I've done pretty good so far. If you just do it when you first get up in the morning, I mean, my fitness goal only takes about, I don't know, 3 minutes to do. So I could really do it more than once a day if I were really dedicated to it. But that was my goal, once a day. That way I never fall completely off and have long periods of time with nothing.
Did you write it down or are you marking it on a calendar? I notice you're not wearing a Fitbit.
I'm not wearing a Fitbit. I do have a watch that tracks my steps in a day, but I didn't tie it to steps in a day because for me that isn't a good motivator. It works really well for other people. Great. If it works for you, use it. It doesn't work for me. So I just keep that. But yes, I have marked on my calendar. It gets a little check on the day that my number one to do fitness quickie, and then it gets checked off.
Would you go through the SMART acronym one more time?
Sure, SMART. So people use this in business, but it's very applicable to fitness goals. So you want to be specific. So again, not I'm going to exercise more, but specific about the exercise that you're going to do. Measurable. So you've got to be able to measure it 3 days a week, 4 days a week, 5 days a week, 2 days a week, you know, something like that. You've got to be able to measure it. SMA, attainable, right? Again, don't set an ultra marathon as your goal if you've never been a runner. So you want it to be something that's really physically possible for you to do and relevant. So if you have no desire to walk a 5K, don't set a 5K as your goal. That's not really relevant to you. It might be find something else. The exercise that's best for you is the exercise you most enjoy, right? Some people have never found an exercise they enjoy, so they've got to do a little research to find it. So that's relevant. And then time bound. So if you put a little bit of urgency to it, have weekly goals or monthly goals. You just don't set it for the whole year because, you know, March might roll around and you've done nothing towards it. Then you're very unlikely to get back going with it. So more time-bound intermediate goals.
You're listening to Dr. Brandi Waite from UC Davis Health Sports Medicine. I've called her a fitness evangelist. I think I've probably convinced you that she is right now. So to talk about a specific program, you do have something called Busy But Fit. And what's the concept of Busy But Fit?
So Busy But Fit stemmed from some of my own experiences. You know, I'm a mom. I've got two kids. I work full time. I teach in the medical school. My story is not different than many other people's stories. They've got family that they take care of. They've got work responsibilities and they've got, you know, relationships they're trying to maintain. And that doesn't always leave time. People are very busy, but you don't have to be busy and unfit. You can be busy but fit. And so it was my way of kind of creating little bits of mini workouts or things that were really attainable for people that have a very busy schedule.
So just on the chance that where you are in your life has a story behind it that might inspire someone else, would you give me a bit of the journey that got you from probably a young, really active kid through school to the work that you're doing right now?
Sure. It's funny. I started off as a dancer when I was a young girl, and then I went to college and I still danced a little bit. As a pre-med student, there's a lot of demands on your time, but somehow, you know, I really loved my dance and I kept doing it. And I took a year off, actually, in between college and medical school, and I planned to do research, but this opportunity came up for me to work at a fitness resort teaching aerobics. This was back in the day when, like, step aerobics and high-low aerobics were in vogue. And so I took, after graduating from Stanford University and en route to an equally sort of prestigious medical school, I took a year off and spent that whole year doing fitness activities. And that at the time, I thought I wanted to do a different medical specialty. I thought I wanted to be an OBGYN. I didn't think sports medicine was really in it for me because I thought you had to be an orthopedic surgeon, which I didn't particularly care to be. Then I found this other pathway into sports medicine. And because of the people that I met during this fitness resort time, or regular people coming and trying to recharge their lives, other people that I thought were the same age as me that were actually 15 or 20 years older than me because they had done a great job taking care of themselves and were very active, I said, I need to figure out how to do that in this very busy part of my life, because from working at a fitness resort to being a medical student are about as far apart in activity levels as you can imagine. And so that just really brought it home for me that And then as a medical student, I saw patients who weren't able to take care of themselves physically fit, and people I thought were much older than me that were really younger than me, and just their whole body showed sort of the weight of their experiences and inability to really take care of their physical body. So it really inspired me to say, all right, there's something we can do about it, because I've seen old folks who look young and young folks who look old, and some sort of physical activity seems to be one of the keys in making that transition to being a little more positive. So that's really where I was inspired. And then I had kids and everything got even more busy. And so just this thought that you've got to spend an hour a day or even 30 minutes all at once a day is just not realistic for a lot of people where they are. There's no substitute for being able to do that. So I don't want to say, oh, yeah, if you know, do squats for 5 minutes, it's just as good as a regular exercise program. That's not what I'm saying. But if you don't have the time to do it, you don't have to completely be sedentary. So it really inspired me. I try to practice what I preach, and I've got to work at it. I'm not one of those people with a naturally high metabolism, but if I can't do it myself with my busy life, it would be hypocritical for me to tell my patients that they could do it. So I've got to walk the walk, and I can pretty much come up with some sort of exercise plan for just about anyone and how to do it, hopefully without injuring themselves.
What I hear in your story is along the lines of what you say to everybody in terms of a fitness routine, and especially at this point, which is try going the simple route. Try keeping it simpler.
Yes. You know, the folks who are, you know, really good at their exercise program that post about it all the time on Facebook and, you know, do all these other things, have a certain drive or desire that's moving them. And not everyone can identify with that drive or desire. And so if you try to do something big and spectacular, there's a lot of steps to big and spectacular that you can fall off. If you just start simple and make it really basic, you can get great results for your health and for yourself and for just your emotional well-being of having accomplished a task that you set for yourself. If you set simple ones, then they can grow. If you just set the big ones and fall off the rails before you get there, that's a little more challenging.
Because you mentioned kids, the conversation we're having isn't just for grown-ups. That starting all of this, incorporating your kids in the routine and the fun of it when they're young is really important.
It is. You know, back when I was in college, actually, I even worked, there was a study that was just showing how our children's health and physical activity is just going down over the years. They're not playing outside as much. There are many things that caused it. But, you know, you've got to incorporate healthy activity when you're young, because you're more likely to sustain healthy activity if you did it when you were a kid than if you were a sedentary kid. Starting as an adult can be really tough. And we've got to help those kids, you know, in any way we can. So giving them some good healthy basics is ideal.
Well, Dr. Wade, can you tell that I've been trying from every possible angle to give people something to hang on to encourage and make us all believe that we can be more fit, we can be better, we can be happier this year? I always like to look at life that way. And if we can look at it with our goals in mind, then we will make it a better year.
I really think so. You don't want to be hopeless. There is some hope. Maybe if you've had something that set you back and really just sidelined you, there is a way that you can slowly step in through the slow lane. Don't just jump right onto the fast lane. Some people that can do that, great. But if you are not one of those people, don't stay out of it completely because you've got to start slow. Start slowly, work your way up, and you can reach some of these goals.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Maybe we should check back in June and see how those crunches and squats are going.
That's right.
That's Dr. Brandi Waite from UC Davis Sports Medicine. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. On Monday, Insight as usual at 9 a.m. We'll spend time looking at the political career of Governor Jerry Brown, and then live coverage of the inauguration of California's new governor, Gavin Newsom, begins at 11 a.m. Hope you'll join us for that. Insight's producers are Cody Drabble, Jen Picard, and Bert Johnson. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
So I looked at the scenery. She read her magazine. And the moon rose over an open field.
I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm